Starting this Sunday, the Empire 6 at Aqueduct will feature mandatory payouts every other Sunday. The jackpot-style 20-cent wager features the last six races at Aqueduct every day. Play the Empire 6 mandatory payout this Sunday with Naira Bets. New Naira Bets members can earn a deposit match bonus up to $200 with the promo code MONEY20. Sign up today at NairaBets.com or download the Naira Bets app. Hello and welcome to the Naira Bets podcast. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back in the New York groove, indeed the downstate New York groove after that fun weekend up in Saratoga. Well, mostly fun other than the sick wife and dealing with everything that goes along with that. But powering through and back in the bunker, getting ready for an unusual weekend of action. It's funny that we have, in the midst of all these Triple Crown prep races, a weekend that is not so focused on Triple Crown prep stuff, but we do have a late pick five at Aqueduct to pay attention to. And because, as I always say, no good deed goes unpunished around here, bringing in a man who hit this bet last week. I don't think we can really claim that we gave it out. We talked about all the horses, but there were some changes made. I did hear some nice comments from listeners, but mostly I just want to congratulate Matt Vagvolgi for doing such a good job and taking this thing down last week. How are you today, Matt?
Doing well, Pete. Thanks for having me back, and nice to take this thing down a couple of times and make some good money.
You had a good story that I think is instructive to people about how you can use someone else's analysis to help move around the finer points of your tickets. You gave credit to, I think the reason you ended up hitting it, or at least hitting it twice, was hearing what Andy Serling had to say and moving a B horse to an A horse in one of the early legs. Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, for me, it's good to listen to other people or just listen to their opinions. But for me, it's not just listening to the picks. And I think it's not just hey, I like this horse. It's not so much the what, it's the why. And in my opinion, I think Andy Serling does that the best. He's incredibly opinionated, but I think also on the other end of it too, I think that his reasoning is very good. He does the research. He puts a lot of time and a lot of passion into it. And just listening to Talking Horses, I thought he gave just a really good case for the two horse, which was It's a Chance. And I was a little bit weary, even the last time that we spoke, I was a little weary of really leaning on a single horse, Linda Rice's horse, who was Becca Takes Charge, and that type of race. And then just Andy made the kind of sum up, Andy made a really good case of, you're looking at a horse that's going to be very similar to an overbet favorite sitting in a very similar spot, and you're going to be looking at a price difference from anywhere between 8-5 and 8-1. And at the end of the day, it was kind of the case. The one went off at 2-1, and It's a Chance, the two went off at around 6-7-1, something like that. And when I looked at that, I kind of just re-handicapped the race a bit. I just felt that his reasoning was good, and I felt that it was enough to move a horse I had on the fray as a B to move it up to an A. So basically, what I did was I wound up adding the horse in a couple of tickets where I had singled the one. And it worked out. I was a little nervous there. It was a very, very hot pace to start, but that's just the way this track has been running and was running earlier that day. And hung on to win. And I know it was really the reasoning that I hit it twice.
Very cool.
Certainly, some good information from Andy for sure.
And I think there's a lesson in that for folks trying to incorporate other people's information. Obviously, if you're listening to a show that's stated purpose is to handicap this bet, you're open to the idea of hearing other people's opinions. But just that idea of sometimes it can be as simple as shifting a horse from an A to a B or finding a spot to narrow down. If we can help point you in those directions, then we're doing our job. So I thought that was a good example of how even, we are doing the show and still trying to do that. So I just thought it was a something worth a tale worth telling the audience for sure. Let's dive into this week's pick five, this week's Saturday pick five. Maybe we can see if we can take down another one here. Things start off with race number five. It's 3:20 on Saturday, and we've got Claimers, 16,000 price tag, and it's 6.5 furlongs on the dirt. I thought it was fairly straightforward. I'm curious. I'm going to let you go first on this one, and then I'll piggyback off you.
Yeah, I thought so too. There's a couple of horses I'm going to concentrate on as A's to start. I'm not really breaking any news here, but I'm looking at the seven Preternatural. Is that right?
You got it.
The seven horse who, you know, second off the layoff, I think is going to show some early speed, so should be up front. And again, not to sound like a broken record, but you know, I emphasize take a look at this track, see how it's running. It's been very kind to early speed. Not so much like you need to be on the lead, but you know, if you're on or close to the pace, I think it's been helpful. So again, I think it's going to be exactly where this horse sits. You know, good numbers for Shatino, second off the claim, and you know, I just think can be very competitive at this level. And I think both on the trip and I think the competition should sit in a good spot for win honors. And I thought the other one that I'm going to lean on a bit too is looking at the four. You're going to have to help me here. Septimius Severus.
I'm going to go with Septimius Severus. That's how I'm going to do that one. Channeling my Latin classes I took in high school, I think. And I had the same two horses as usual. You go ahead and make the Septimus case.
Yeah, I never was good in the Latin side of things. Reminds me of my Catholic school days being taught up. I have had nightmares, actually. But in terms of the horse, you know, first time out as a gelding, dropping class. Obviously, things that you know that jump off the page to me. One thing I thought was interesting, though, shipping in from Parks, these horses have actually done pretty well. So I took a look at some numbers. If you look at it over the total meet, not so good. You know, a negative ROI. You know, not the greatest win percentage. But if you look at it over the last month, I thought was pretty good. 29% wins with a positive 25% ROI. So again, similar on the trip angle too. If a few other horses go. I think if the nine, as well as the three, who I'm actually gonna consider as well as a crazy long shot, but if those horses go, I think it really sit off that speed duel and take it down. If there is a speed duel, I'm gonna look at the six as well. Beachfront, I think, has the best closing speed. The three, I thought, fit to throw in there as well as a long shot. Dropping in class, inside speed, you know, may be able to get out and steal the thing. I just think maybe at the end of the day, there's going to be too much speed accompanying this horse. But, you know, again, take a look at the board and see if it's a price I want to consider. But for me, 4-7 as A's, and I'm going to have the 5, 6, and 3 as B's.
Preternatural, one other note on that one. I like the fact that the horse was protected last time on the waiver claim, and also the jockey switched to Cancel. Just a very logical horse. And then as far as Septimius goes, that big race two back on turf, dropping in class, and as you mentioned, the first time gelding, this horse just might end up being better than these. But I think your Beachfront idea as potentially the best closer is interesting. I just wasn't sure that this horse isn't a lot better on turf, but if it does fall apart, that's one who could benefit. And because this is the first leg, we can see. At 5-1, honestly, I'd probably be okay letting a Beachfront beat me, but if that's a horse drifts up past 6-1, 8-1, something like that, I probably would want to have alive at least on a B line. So we're very similar there. And let's talk about race number six now. We've got 3-year-old New York bred maidens going a mile this time around. I was once again not wonderfully creative. I did think there was a possible pace angle for Farragut, who had been close up into hot paces a couple of times, and I don't think there's going to be as much pace here. And then Jerry the Nipper just seemed very obvious candidate to improve while stretching out. I ran the Pletcher numbers, second time sprint to route, and they were very good even by his lofty standards with a 30% win. Very interesting, 64% in the money, and an ROI on $2 of $1.92. I mean, you know, you probably don't need to give stats to explain why I'm using the Pletcher favorite, but I did think it was interesting how strong Jerry the Nipper came up in those categories. I was thinking you might be able to get away with just the two and the four here, but maybe you've got something creative for us.
Yeah, a little bit different. I'm actually gonna look at the three, which way to Malibu, a little bit more. I just felt, you know, dropping class is gonna show some speed. It won't be on the lead. I think you're right. I think Farragut's gonna go, and that concerns me, especially if I see that the speed is really holding well. I don't think it's gonna have that much competition early on, in terms of the pace, but I think we'll be up close to the pace. We'll sit behind the two. And the reason why I move this horse up is, you know, I look at what I like to call progressive angles. And again, it's why I like using stats on the research side of things, is that I can see something and then I can start playing around with some numbers and see if I'm on anything. And basically, just on a track profile, I'm looking to see how speed horses have done on dirt routes. And if you look at over the meet, again, very similar of the last angle. Nothing too great. But if you look at the last month, you really see these numbers start to change with early pace. But more importantly, and like, because, you know, it falls into the Farragut as well, where I looked at it of let's take a look at, you know, horses that are on the pace early, but also have the best late pace numbers. And, you know, again, some really nice figures here. You know, 59 starts, 25% wins with a positive 10% ROI over the last month. So I just think this horse might be in a good spot to jump and grab the lead late. But my biggest fear, you know, as you mentioned, is Farragut getting off on the lead and shaking loose could be dangerous on the front end. And then I'm also going to include the one as well. Ain't It Funky Now? Second time dirt, you know, I thought was nice. Had a nice race going out last time, going a mile at Aqueduct. Again, should be just off the pace. Should set a nice trip, but scary for me with the two on the lead, but I'm also going to use the three as well. So for me, A's are 3, 1, and 4, and I'm going to have the two as a B. I might make that adjustment, but that's the way I'm going to take a look at it.
It certainly makes sense for me liking Farragut to also use Ain't It Funky Now. I was a little concerned from a value point of view, but I think I probably should include. It seemed to me like the trip was just a little bit easier potentially for Ain't It Funky Now last time, as opposed to Farragut doing the dirtier work on the front end. But I always feel silly when you go against the horse that just beat your horse. And yeah, this is a perfect example of where there is a reason for it, but if I can afford a backup, I think I probably will try to use the one as a backup. I do just think that Farragut's hard run early did set it up a little bit for that one, but again, it just on form considerations makes sense to include. Let's talk about race number 7. We've got a New York bred Allowance going a mile this time around, and this race, I was trying to get cute, and I think that maybe we can get Big Mountain as a loose winner here. This is a horse who has some very big numbers to run back to, and maybe had an excuse last time of running inside on a day when the inside maybe wasn't that exactly where you wanted to be. Maybe that's enough of an excuse to ignore that fifth beat in 15 and to go back to the big races in the past. What did you think of this one, Matt?
Well, it's funny you say that, because I'm looking at my PPs and I have Big Mountain right next to it. I have Steal It with a question mark and highlight it. So I agree with that. I think that that could very well be the case. I think not too much pressure early on for this horse. Definitely going to be an A for me, being out on the front end. So I think may get the race own way and go start to finish. I thought Joe's Smoking Gun is definitely a horse I'm going to use like you said. I'm trying to get creative in some of these races. It's a little bit difficult, especially when you're just I'm seeing the race pretty clearly on this lake here. I'm going to concentrate the most on the 4 and the 6. You know, with Joe Smoking Gun third off the claim for Linda Rice, you know, I like a versatile horse, you know, can lay off or can compress the pace. And I just think could sit could sit right where the horse needs to be, and you know, also has the top closing kick in the race down the lane. So 4 and 6 for me as A's. I will also have Playwright in there as a B. I'm kind of searching more for options here, but you know, I'm going to include Playwright in there as a B for Manny Franco. I think if something happens up front and it melts a little bit, you know, Playwright can pick up the pieces. But then again, at the end of the day, I don't know what kind of price I'm going to get there as well. So, but 4 and 6 as A's for me, and then I'm going to use Playwright as a B.
Yeah, I don't have too much to add. Playwright, just on, there's enough big races in there that even though I think the horse is going to probably be a little too far back early, if it ends up getting unexpectedly fast, he could be the other one who might benefit. So I'm very much with you in that leg. And now we can talk about our old friend Mr. Buff as we move to race number 8, and we go on to the Haynesfield Stakes, 100,000 in the pot, going a mile on the dirt for these New York breds. I love Mr. Buff, but I couldn't decide if this makes sense strategically to use 3 in a 6-horse field, but I did see some very obvious cases for Syndergaard and for Honor Up as well. Will you do that? Will you take a short field like this and still end up using 3 horses on occasion?
Yeah. The size of the field to me doesn't really make that much of a difference if I feel the horses are competitive. And I think if I can also play around a horse that I know is going to get a ton of play, I got to be honest with you. I just don't see it. I think Mr. Buff has done this before, has ran in this type of race in terms of a pace scenario, and has just trounced the field. And yeah. I don't know, maybe does it again. Did it on the slop, did it on a fast track. It should get a fairly easy lead in my opinion. And I just think it might be, it just might be a conveyor belt around the track. In my opinion, I would love to try to find other horses in here to beat Mr. Buff, but it's just gotta be a lone A for me. I think. And the other reason for that is when I look at Syndergaard, I think there's a lot of reasons to like Syndergaard in terms of the next choice. But when I look at the layoff lines and you go back into Syndergaard's PPs, horses doesn't do well off the layoff, in my opinion. And I think may need one. And, you know, coming into this race, I just think Mr. Buff is going to be ready to go and is going to be able to get to that lead. Now, I will say, you know, you can look at it a different way where if Syndergaard really pops the gate and goes after Mr. Buff early, you know, you can look at some horses closing off the pace. You know, that's why in terms of B's, I'm going to include the 4 and the 5 as well. So I am going to I'll use a few in here, but I'm really going to concentrate on Mr. Buff and try to use my bankroll as the leverage rather than the pools to try to get something good out of the pick 5 here. I just don't see many scenarios where Mr. Buff gets beat here.
I'm with you as having Mr. Buff as a lone A, and was even questioning whether to use Syndergaard. And the other one I was interested in a little bit is Honor Up, who I just thought could do better second off the layoff. Another one who was down inside. And you know, as we've talked about a lot in these modern racetracks, it's often not where you want to be anymore. So I was just thinking Honor Up could potentially turn things around and run one of his good races. But I think for sure, this is a case where not only would I want Mr. Buff as a lone A, but I'd really want to have there be a difference between the dollar amounts on Mr. Buff and the backups that I use in here. I would want 80% of the money or more going through Mr. Buff, but I do think I will attempt to cheekily find a way to at least get a little bit of coverage as we move on to our nightcap. We've got 3-year-old New York Breds Maiden Claiming going a mile here. I'll let you kick this one off.
I thought this race is where you might get some value here. You know, I could be wrong. I'm not going to trust the favorite too much, who I think is going to be the favorite, which is going to be the 8. And again, may need some help here. Desbordes, right?
That's what I was going to say. Yep.
There we go. On a pace scenario, I think kind of has it its own way up front. Seems to be the speed of the speed. Very well could go gate to wire here. I'm just not gonna trust this horse in this particular spot. hasn't run well at Aqueduct. I just see this horse has burnt some money in the past, and you know, this type of claiming race, I do try to look, especially if I'm getting a decent sized field, try to look for some others that are out there that I think could spice it up a bit. You know, I'm going to look at the three Wicked Kaisha. I'm going to look also at the two Mizzen the Mark, and I'm also going to look at the five Broadway Angel. Obviously, Mizzen the Mark, new face, right? I'm looking for something new in a race like this. Not necessarily figures that jump off the charts when it comes to first time starters here, but you know, again, I think a new face with this kind of field, I think would be a horse that I'm gonna consider and take a look at. I thought the three was a little interesting though. I caught two sloppy tracks. You know, second time on a fast track, I thought was competitive. You know, just missing by a half length. I think we'll be, you know, I think we'll be closer to the pace than what Timeform is showing on the pace projector. I think we'll lay a little bit closer and be in a better spot in the lane to run them down. So I did like the three quite a bit in this spot, along, like I said, with the two and the five. I will use the eight protectively, but I do think there's some other horses to take a look. And I was curious, want to see if you have any price plays in here.
Well, I probably not much of a price play, but a one that I have to use is the 11, Just Stay Home. Linda Rice, second time, is, I'm not going to say it's an automatic use, but it's always an angle I look at. I always look at horses who were bet and didn't break, because I feel like that the fact that they're bet shows that they have speed typically. And I say didn't break, that's not right. This one was eliminated by another horse. It's not like the trouble was of Just Stay Home's own causing. So I can't lose to Just Stay Home. And Broadway Angel, of the ones you mentioned, I just feel like it's a horse who's been a victim of circumstances with a bad break, with some inside runs, could do a lot better in this spot. And I'm also with you on not trusting the presumptive favorite in the eight, and I like your cases on the two and the three. So I might just try to go against, I might try to press the five and the 11, back up with your two and your three, and I don't know, maybe it's being too much of a hero. You do make the point about Desportis maybe having a pace edge, but just looks kind of exposed and not that exciting to me, and not a race where, not one that I want to do anything more than have a backup with.
Yeah, I agree. These are the horses I'm trying to beat. You know, when they're not really jumping off the page, and I'm seeing some other options, some new faces coming in. And you make a great point on the 11, Just Stay Home. The description in the PPs does nothing in terms of what happened to this horse last time out. So I think that's also another reason why replays are great. And the kind of tie Andy back into it, you know, again, going back to last week's pick five, the video footage of showing past races made me look even deeper into some other past performances, and watching those replays gives you a better perspective. You really get a good idea as to how the horse fared, what the trip was like, what the ride was like. And I would say for sure, you know, go back and watch a race like that. I think you'll get a better idea by watching it rather than reading the comments and the PP. So I think you make a great point on the 11, Just Stay Home as well.
I worry this horse could be very bet. So I probably will want to press a little bit. I think you'll get some of the value preserved in a bet like the pick five. So I'm very comfortable using Just Stay Home, but I wouldn't be surprised if the fact that the horse was bet the last time, the Linda Rice angle, there's reasons why this horse, you might not get all of that 4-1 on the morning line, but I'm extremely interested, and hopefully we can get to this pay leg and have it all work out once again in this week's edition of the Naira Betts Late Pick 5. Not really branded as such anymore. I guess it's just the Aqueduct Late Pick 5, but we'll you know what I mean. What else is going on with you? You going to be playing horses this weekend?
Yeah, a little bit of a, I guess, a soft weekend, as you mentioned, coming in, where it's not, it's kind of an odd weekend given what we've had the past couple of weeks. But, you know, I just think last weekend is a great example that it was kind of an average weekend, so to speak, at Aqueduct. And you look at the payers in the pick five, I was surprised. And, you know, when I saw you out that night, I think you had the same the same thought of just very surprised at how much it paid. And, you know, it paid $6,200 for 50 cents.
That's great.
And it wasn't anything that really, you know, was crazy. There weren't any crazy horses that came in there. It's just, if you can beat a couple of favorites, a lot of liquidity comes into this pool, even at Aqueduct this time of year. And if your opinions are right, you can make a nice score, you know, even on a non-big day at a track like Aqueduct.
It's been good racing at Aqueduct this winter. Continue to follow it along. We'll be back with this show next week and lots of other stuff on the In the Money Media Network as well. Of course, you can go to inthemoneypodcast.com to see everything going on. We hope you'll go ahead and subscribe to the various feeds over on iTunes as well. All right, Matt, thank you so much for your insights here. I want to wrap things up today by thanking you one more time, thanking our sponsors over at Naira Bets, most of all thanking everybody for tuning in and listening to these shows and making them so much fun to do. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. In the Money Media's business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas for Natal. May you win all your photos.
I guess the Lord must be New York City. Well, here I am, Lord, knocking at your back door. Ain't it wonderful to be where I've always wanted to be? For the first time.